Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence, your Holy Spirit anointing. And Father, as you hover over this church today, your Holy Spirit, may it touch hearts and renew hearts and empower hearts, giving hope where oftentimes there doesn't seem to be hope. But we pray this morning that by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, we will be a different people as we leave this place. That our hearts will be filled with the power and the fullness of who Jesus really is. And that the things of this world will become slowly dim in the grace of God. Oh Father, that we will just look to you this morning. That we will lift up our hands and receive what you have for us by your Spirit. And may we leave this place a different person. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't Jesus wonderful? I was up early this morning praying, and it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, you know, we as God's children oftentimes segment our lives. We come to church and we're in one box, and we leave church and we're in another box, and sometimes we're in a third box somewhere. We're not the same. And I believe God is saying that we need to start allowing the box that we are in the church to be the box that we are outside of the church. We need to forget about the things of this world, but we need to be who God really wants us to be. He wants us to be the same as what we are here this morning. And isn't it wonderful to be amongst God's people? I mean, the Bible says, you know, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, and this is where we are today. And we feel encouraged and we feel enriched, and this is where we get refueled every week. But, you know, when we leave this place, we have to realize that He's with us. And the same Spirit that is indwelling us even here today is the same Spirit that is outside there. And yes, we are living in a world. We're living in a difficult time. Things are surrounding us. Things are getting more difficult. Things are changing. We all know that. But God never changes. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank God that I can hold on to Him every day, no matter the circumstances, whatever I have to face. He is there to encourage me. You see, He wants us to choose our weapon. And I want to share with you this morning something that I hope will encourage us. Because I feel we're all in a place sometimes that we don't know which weapon to choose. And I'll explain as I go along this morning. I want to read with you in Luke chapter 22, if you'd like to turn there this morning. Luke chapter 22, verse 35 to 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 35 to 42. And we see Jesus is basically preparing his disciples before he is crucified. And they'll no longer be walking with him. You know, their security was in Jesus. Our security is here when we come to the church. We get prayed for. We get encouraged. We get help. And I think, I cannot imagine sometimes, you know, we read the word so many times that we cannot really imagine. I'm a practical person. And what it must have felt to... for the disciples, or to the disciples, what it must have felt to them, you know, their source, their inspiration, their rock is going to leave us. He's going to be gone. And there's going to be persecution. And they realized that there's going to be more hatred and more persecution as Jesus was going to leave them. And we see Jesus at this time, in Luke chapter 22, verse 35, we read, "And he," that is Jesus, "said to them, when I send you without money bag, without or knapsack and sandals, did you lack anything?" And they said, "No, nothing," because they realized God was their source. They went through life trusting and believing in God. And then he said to them, but now, Things are changing. There's a kind of a paradigm shift. There's something taking place. Drastic is going to take place. He says, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors for the things concerning me having an end. And then verse 38, he says, so they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And Jesus said to them, it is enough. It was as though Jesus was aggravated with a statement that they made. Verse 39 says, coming out, that is coming out from the place where they were having their Last Supper, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Isn't that amazing? The first thing he said to them when he got there is, pray that you'll not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Very important statement, I believe, that Jesus made. I cannot imagine the agony and the turmoil and just the affliction that Jesus faced at this time, knowing that the time had come, that he was going to be crucified, he was going to be betrayed, and yet we see he's wrestling with this thing. Isn't it sometimes that we are at a place where we just say, Lord, I just cannot take this anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do. And is it so difficult sometimes to say, but Lord, this is your will, let your will be done. It's hard for us to do that sometimes because we want to do things in our own power, in our own might sometimes. But then Jesus says in Matthew 26, verse 40, after Jesus had prayed, he finds his disciples asleep. And he says, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not tarry a little while with me? Yeah, I'm in agony and pain, and I'm suffering and going through turmoil in my life, but you could not even tarry with me for an hour? Then he says to them, in verse 41, he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Again, he says that. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, we have a fight on our hands. And I don't think there's one person in this building today that realizes that we are going to face some obstacles, some resentment, some conflict, some hatred in our life even today. This battle has been raging from the beginning of time. Even from the beginning of creation, this battle has been there. We know that, we read it in the Word, but you see, it is the battle between our flesh and God's Spirit. That's where it is. The battle is between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Jesus said when he was praying, he said, my spirit is willing, but even Jesus said that my flesh is weak. In myself, in my fleshly body, I don't think Jesus felt that he could handle the persecution he was going to go through. I don't think he realized that he was going to go through so much pain and agony. But yet he said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. We have so many aspirations in life to see what God is going to do in his kingdom. Sometimes we want to see so much happening through us in the kingdom of God. I'm there many times, you know, God wakes me up early hours of the morning, I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, you know, I need to get to a different country. We need to preach the word of God. We need to instruct leaders. I mean, these are things that are there oftentimes. The aspirations that we have, the things that I'd like to see happen in ministry. But oftentimes our greatest hindrance is not Satan. It is ourselves. Sometimes we are the ones that stand in the way. Sometimes we are the ones that you know, have those great aspirations, but when it comes to the time, you know, we sit in church and we say, wow, Lord, this week I'm going to reach somebody for Jesus. I'm going to encourage somebody. I'm going to be an instrument, a source of encouragement to somebody maybe. You know, by the time we get in the car and leave the place, you know, those aspirations are gone. And God is saying, you know, we don't allow the flesh to get in the way. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul says, for I am conscious that in me, that is, in my flesh, there is nothing good. Paul says he realized in himself he's nothing. Absolutely nothing. But he says, I have the mind, but not the power to do what is right. I have the mind. Oh, Lord, I just help me this week that I don't fall back into that sin. Lord, just help me that I will, you know, not be tempted by these various things. But again, I do not have the power. When the time comes, Lord, I just don't have the power to overcome that thing once again. This is what Jesus was trying to stress to us by what took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. His prayer exemplified the battle between the flesh and the spirit. There was a battle that was going on. There was such conflict, I believe, that was going on. He told Peter, James, and John, he says, pray that you enter into, that you do not enter into temptation. I mean, he mentioned it so many times. Pray, don't fall into temptation. Don't let the things of this world overwhelm you and overshadow you. Then he prayed about his own flesh. And Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Not my flesh, Lord. Jesus went through the same physical, I believe, difficulties and challenges that we face in life. But he realized there was one thing that he could do, and that is to surrender to God. It's all about the flesh and the spirit. The Bible says that the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus would retreat with his disciples often to pray. And we read that quite often. You see, Gethsemane was an oil press at the foot of the Mount of Olives. It was an oil press, and that is where they got the oil, the olive oil. But we know oil has always represented the anointing of God. So he always went back to the Mount of Olives to receive and to be empowered by the Spirit of God. You see, the disciples were probably most of the anointed or the anointed men of that time, walking with Jesus, eating from the table, listening to his instruction. I mean, just receiving every day. Can you imagine how powerful that must have been? But it was because Jesus taught them that in order to win the battle of your flesh and my spirit, that is Jesus' spirit, you've got to have a place to go to receive that anointing. You have to go somewhere to receive that anointing. You have to be in an environment where you can receive that anointing to overcome the battles of this world that we are facing. And when the Lord returns after his victory in Armageddon, do you know where he is going? Zechariah 14 verse 4 tells us, he says, on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, the place of the anointing. That's where he will stand on that day. If you want God to show up and fight your battles for you, you need to get to the Garden of Anointing, folks. We have to get to a place where the anointing and the empowerment of God will be there to enrich us and empower us. Luke chapter 22, verse 38 says, so they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. You remember earlier on, Jesus said, do you have a sword? And they said, no. He said, you better go and sell your garments and buy some swords. You see, even when I read oftentimes this portion of scripture, I'd say, but you know, this doesn't make sense to me. Well, the same way it didn't make sense to the disciples either. And he said to them, it is enough. They said, well, Lord, he has two swords. Jesus says, well, that's enough. You know, he doesn't want to listen to that story anymore. He says, there are some of you who, well, there are some of us too, in this year, I believe, that God is going to invite you to the Garden of Anointing. He He's going to take us to a different level. He's going to expose some new things to us, spiritual things in our lives that we have never experienced before. The freshness of His anointing, folks. And it's if we don't desire it, we're not going to get it. I'll be quite honest with you. But if we're going to desire to have that fresh and special anointing of the Holy Spirit, we will have it. And it is there that you will face a choice. There will be two swords. But Jesus said, it is enough. He made His choice. You see, the apostles took the words of God, of Jesus, literally, and showed two swords and the Lord for their future enlightenment. But it is enough. You know, oftentimes we are enlightened by various things, and I believe the disciples were not too enlightened by the Holy Spirit at this time. You see, Jesus didn't literally mean that they had to take up the swords and go and fight. That wasn't His purpose. They misinterpreted that. And as we read further, we realize, you know, the two swords would not be enough for 12 disciples if they had to fight physical battles. It was only a thing where Jesus was using that as a metaphor in a way. You see, the disciples were focusing on the physical carnal weapon. They were not focusing on the spiritual aspect that Jesus was trying to implant in their hearts at that specific time. They were focused on the physical things. And that's why in Luke chapter 22, verse 41, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone cast away and kneeled down to pray. That was Jesus. And the word withdraw here literally means that Jesus unsheathed a sword for battle, a spiritual sword for battle. Jesus was at a place at that time when He was praying at the Mount of Olives. He said, Lord, I cannot handle this. I cannot do this anymore. He realized His only source is spiritual source. He said, let me unsheath this. Let me realize that, God, You are my source. There's no other source. I cannot fight this battle on my own in my flesh. I cannot, you know, come against this onslaught of the enemy in my own flesh. I have to depend on Your supernatural power to overcome this thing. You see, the disciples were ready to fight a spiritual battle with carnal weapons. But Jesus taught them the secret to winning the battle of the flesh and the spirit. He taught them, but they didn't get it, even at that time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, we read, we are human, but we don't war, wage as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the stronghold of the human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. For we all walk not in the flesh, but we war according to the flesh. Isn't that how we are? We always want to seemingly war in the fleshly part of us. It comes out in us so many times. But notice what happens to Peter. And Peter didn't get it either. Because in Matthew 26, verse 5 to 52, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and that was Peter, and he struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish with the sword. I think Jesus is reminding us today that we do not need to depend on the physical armament, on the physical realm. We have to depend on the spiritual things of God if we are going to have victory in our lives. Peter made his decision in the Garden of Anointing to fight spiritual battle with a carnal weapon. And that's what he did. He had no understanding of the spiritual. He had no idea what Jesus was saying, you know, that you need to sell your clothes and you need to buy two swords. It was a spiritual application that they needed to be aware that once Jesus was gone, that eventually they're going to be have onslaught of the enemy. They're going to be intimidated. They're going to be hated. And they didn't have Jesus around to rely on anymore. They had to depend on the spiritual realm to overcome the battles in their lives. And because of that, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because he understood that that is exactly what the devil was wanting to do, is to fight the battle with carnal weapons. "Get behind me, Satan." Peter, you had no idea what Jesus was meaning. If you live by carnality, you will die by carnality. That's just the bottom line. But if you fight your battles with the spiritual weapons, Paul said that they are mighty enough to pulling down Satan's strongholds. They are mighty to pull down those strongholds. I want to let you know that in the Garden of Anointing, I've already fought this battle, and the good news is that we will win. Jesus said to them, "You will win that battle no matter what happens. If you go to the Garden of Anointing, you will have victory there." As long as you realize the difference between wanting to fight a battle either by the flesh or by the spirit. But we will have overcoming power when we realize that we can go to the Garden of Anointing and have victory in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 22, verse 23, we read, "And he said to them, 'But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one.'" Jesus was saying that having the spiritual weapon was more important than being clothed. Because clothing is a very interesting topic in the Old Testament, especially relating to the battle of your flesh and God's spirit. We read in Ephesians 4, 22, verse 24, that you put off concerning the former conduct of the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. If there was one thing in my life that I believe I learned soon after I got saved, and praise God for a wonderful pastor that taught us so well, I thank God that he taught us this very scripture verse, that we need to put off the old man. We need to take off those old clothes, get rid of those old ragged clothes that you have on. And now you can put on a new set of clothing. You can put on a new set of righteousness. You are cleansed and purified by the blood of Jesus. You can walk in the fullness of who Jesus really is. By renewing our minds every day, when the temptations of Satan come and overshadow us and overtake us on a daily basis, we need to pray, "God, just cleanse my mind that I might be able to overcome the things of the enemy." I do believe that, as I said, we are in a place where we are facing a greater onslaught of the enemy than ever before. We are fighting a spiritual battle. And folks, I just want to remind us this morning, I don't want to be like Peter that doesn't understand the difference between the flesh and the spirit, where we miss it sometimes. And I've learned over the years, and Maggie and I both have, that, you know, a lot of our battles were spiritual battles. In the beginning times of our ministry, we wanted to fight those physical battles ourselves, within our own strength and within our own power. We were kind of like Peter in a way. We're just going to take the bull by the horns and we're going to defeat this enemy. Until we started realizing that it's not my fight. It's not my fight. I'm a child of the King. And there are sources disposable that I can hold on to. I mean, the Spirit of God indwells us. He's here this morning to encourage us and to enrich our lives. But he is here this morning and he's saying, you know, "I want to fight your battle for you. I want to be the one that can give you victory in Jesus' name." And as we have fought those battles over the years, there's been times, you know, in different countries, we've had onslaught of the enemy. We face many difficulties many times. But I want to tell you, there's power in prayer, and there's power in the name of Jesus, and there's victory in the name of Jesus. And we have prayed, and we've come to the Mount of Anointing many times, and we've said, Lord, this is not my battle. And it's hard to release that, folks, because I know in your flesh you want to fight those battles oftentimes. I know that is where we are. You know, when we face a bad situation at work and there's somebody that aggravates us, we want to face that person with a physical realm. You know, wait till I get outside and I'll show you and I'll sort you out. Isn't that how we are? You know, as Christians. Sometimes I still feel like doing that, but then I realize that I'm a child of God and I don't have to fight those battles. There's been times when I've seen God work in such supernatural ways that I'm just totally amazed because we released it to Him. I said, you know, Lord, I don't need that sword. All I need is you. Let me go to the place, the Mount of Anointing, where I receive that anointing. Father, where I can believe and trust in you that you will see me through this week, that I can believe in the miraculous intervention of God. Because I do believe many times we pray and say, yes, Lord, I'm believing you for a miracle. I believe you are going to see me through in this situation. And as we leave, we take that thing back again and we say, Lord, this is mine. And I'm going to fight this battle on my own. I've never really come to the place of anointing to receive and believe you, God, that you're going to help me through the situation. And I think that's where we are, even today. And today I want to encourage each one of us. You might be fighting battles in your life. You might be trying to overcome the onslaught of the enemy. I don't know what your situation is that you might be fighting this morning or facing this morning. But I do know this is a place of anointing. And I do know that this is a place that we can get deliverance. And I do know that this is a place that we can be encouraged. Because as we go through this week, and I want to challenge you this morning, just try it. If you are facing battles, just go and release it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is not my battle, this is yours. And Satan, you have no power and you have no authority over my life. I commit it to you, to Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I believe you for a miracle in this situation. You will see what God does in your life. He will unfold it. We've been in places, circumstances many times where we've had the onslaught of the enemy in Zimbabwe, in Mozambique, various places, and we just go before God and we say, God, I'm not depending on this sword, I'm depending on your anointing. I'm believing you for victory. We just release it to the Lord. We have to come to a place, folks, of release, knowing that we can release it to God. Because the more we interfere in God's plan, the more aggravated the situation becomes. The more conflict you have, the more you're going to have because you don't want to give up. But I want to tell you this morning, I know that there is victory in the end. And I've seen God work supernaturally in so many ways that I just stand totally amazed before God as He works in those situations. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, don't fight those battles with your weapons. You want to fight it with your own weapon? Or do you want to fight it with a spiritual weapon? God is giving us a choice, I believe, this morning. He's saying, choose what weapon you want to use. Choose which one you want to use this morning. Put aside those things. Yeah, but they've aggravated me for years. They've never apologized. They have never, you know, had a kind word to say. This situation never stops. No. Don't worry about that. Just release it. Come to the mount. Come to a place of realizing. Come to a place of saying, this is enough. This is where I basically draw the line, Lord. I'm not going to allow this to continue any longer. I'm going to draw the line today. And I'm not going to allow this thing to continue anymore. And I'm giving it to you, Lord. And I'm not taking it back because that is our human nature, is to take it back and want to resolve it ourselves. And God is saying, release it to me. Let the God deal with it by His Spirit. Folks, we're all Christians. Yeah, I believe. We might be on different levels. But this is something that God really impressed on Maggie and I many years ago. And we've won many, many battles, let me tell you. And some of them are very hard because God's time is God's time. You know, we want everything happening tomorrow. And we want this whole thing resolved tomorrow. God's timing is perfect, let me tell you. It's been sometimes months that go by and we don't see results. We're on our knees before God. And sometimes reminding God, God, you know, we have released this to you. Isn't that us? We do that oftentimes. Lord, don't you remember that I asked you to, you know, to intervene in this situation? And God says, I remember. I know all about it. You just release it. You keep on going. The time is right. My timing is right, not yours. And I believe God wants to speak to us. Folks, you know, oftentimes I think we come to church so much. Every Sunday when the doors are open, we are here. Some of us have been coming for 20, 30 years. And it's like we just don't elevate beyond where we are sometimes. And I'm saying, Lord, may we take hold of some of these principles in godly wisdom and say, Lord, I'm tired of all this. Let me mature to a different level in my Christian walk with you, that we can defeat the enemy. Because if the devil sees us weak when we walk out of this door, he's going to defeat us straight away again. But he's saying, come. Come to the mount of anointing. I will give you that freedom today. I want you to release it to me today so that you can have victory in your life. And don't take it back. Folks, don't take it back. Don't take it back. Because that's where the devil has victory once again. And so this morning, I want to commit this congregation to the Lord in prayer. And I just want to challenge you folks. I don't know about you, but I don't like conflict. I don't like to fight battles oftentimes. Sometimes we have to face the enemy head on. But you know what? I do know that there is a greater power. There's a greater anointing. There's a greater spirit that I know that has helped me thus far. It's helped me to get where I am today. There are many days I could have been defeated. There are many days that I want to throw in the towel. In America, they say, you know, normally the day that most pastors resign is on a Monday because they're fed up. That's why. But no, don't give up. Don't give up. It's easy to give up. But keep going and believing that God is supernaturally going to interfere in your situation. Even this week, folks, that God's going to perform a miracle in your situation. And he's going to bring about a change. But we have to release it in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit for you to have victory in Jesus' name. And as the musicians come, Pastor Keith, if you don't mind, I want us just to believe and trust God this morning that he will overcome. Don't be tempted. Don't fall back again. Allow the Holy Spirit to do a fresh work in your life. And this is a place of anointing. This is a place where you can receive and draw from this morning. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I hope we are. And yeah, you know, this is where we come to receive strength from one another. This is where we come to be empowered by one another. This is where we can get loved on by one another. This is where we can get encouraged by one another. And when we leave this place, let's not leave Jesus behind, but let us find our place of anointing even in our home. Let us find a place where we can turn to God. Maybe it's our best brother or sister in this place. Phone them and say, you know, I need prayer. I need you to help me to overcome. And God will give us that overcoming power in Jesus' name. That's what I really believe. So as our musicians pray, I just pray that God is going to start working in your spirit today. If you are here this morning, And maybe we should just stand and just give it to the Lord this morning. Don't look around who's around you or think about their circumstances. But, you know, give it to the Lord. This is a place of anointing this morning. The Spirit of God is saying that I want to give it to you. I want to release it to you this morning. That carnal thing that you've been carrying, it's been there too long. You're not going to win that battle. I can tell you now, you're not going to win it. But when we release it to the Lord, say, Lord, this is enough. I'm just giving it to you this morning, Father. This week I'm going to have victory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to see God work a miracle that I don't even expect, in a way that I don't even understand. I've seen it many times, folks. I've seen God perform such miraculous things. I cannot even imagine that something could like that could happen in my life. But it can happen in us. It can happen even this week. It can give you hope in Jesus. And we'll be a better person. And you can walk up tall and you can walk up straight and you can say, Lord, thus far of you have taken me, but Lord, I'm going to go further than this. I'm going to take hold of you, Lord. I'm going to take hold of the altar, and God, I'm going to believe you for a greater impartation of your Spirit. And know, God, that you are going to do a greater work in me. You're going to use me for your kingdom. You're going to use me for your glory. Put aside those things, folks. There's not enough time to fight with one another or to have issues. We need to be able to share the word of Jesus Christ to this world that is desperate. That is what we need to do. And if you are here this morning and you need a place to come before God and say, God, yeah, this is the place that I need. This is the place of anointing that I need this morning. Come forward and let us pray with you, and let's believe God for a miracle in your life this week. You know, don't fight that battle, folks. Don't fight those battles. It's not worth it.
Amen.
It's not worth it. Don't be embarrassed. This is all in God's economy, I'm telling you. He wants to see this church full of vibrant folks. Amen. That are victory, that have victory upon victory, that there is no defeat in this house of the Lord. When people leave this place, they will leave this place knowing that there is something else happening in this church, and God is indwelling the hearts and lives of people. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. That battle is not yours, folks. That battle is the Lord's. I'd like some of the pastors to come and just let us just pray. Maggie, come.